Tomorrow is International Women's Day, and quite appropriately, our focus today is on women issues, especially African women. Aminata Konte-Bijie is one such African woman in Australia. She is in the studio with me now. I'll let her tell her story shortly. She's one African woman who is determined to make a change in her former homeland of Sierra Leone. More on that shortly. So let me just go straight to her. It's International Women's Day, Aminata. And if you were to wave a magic wand and get one great wish granted for you on African women, what would that be?
Really, it's quite simple. For me, it's for every woman in Sierra Leone, but all around the world, for every woman to experience the joy of having a baby, healthy environment.
So what, so that would be your wish?
Yes.
Okay. This is, I will just ask you to tell me briefly the story. I mean, there's a story woven around this desire to get African women to have a baby, a very safe birth and a very safe upbringing for their babies. Now, if you have to tell me your story, you have this special project helping women in Sierra Leone. How did it all begin and why in that particular need? Why that particular need? Why are you focusing just on, say, childbirth and maternal health? There are schools, there are children who would like to go to school. Why that particular area that you focused your attention on?
Well, firstly, coming from Sierra Leone, I have witnessed a lot of time women died and children died. And for me, being in that environment, it was quite normal. It was not anything such word that I've ever heard, maternal. So when I've been in Australia now for 17 years, when I was pregnant with my daughter, my first child, Sarafina, I went to the hospital, St. George Hospital, to have a baby. And I've not really worried if I'm going to have, I'm in the West, I've not really thought about if I'm going to come out surviving or my child, anything is going to happen with my child. So as I went there and get ready to give birth, I started going through some difficulty, and it was a very traumatic experience for me. And I didn't, going in there, I was just really, again, looking forward to receiving and holding this joy. And I think that experience really opened my eyes. I didn't really know. So I had to go back after I gave birth to her. I almost lost her. When she was delivered, we had about 7 doctors in the clinic just to make sure that I have a safe birth, that experience. And then we went home, and I start Googling, what is this? What is maternal issue? Why are people talking about this word? Because they had to do case study on my experience in St. George Hospital, and even come up with a conclusion that the next child I should have a cesarean, because she was very big for my pelvis. She was almost 5 kilos, and my pelvis is very small, and so that was the problem. But they did not check the weight. And it was too late for me to go in and have a cesarean. So coming back home, and I started Googling why in this word maternal, and I started seeing really horrific video. And for me, it's not really occurred that people will really die in such places as Africa or anywhere in the world when it comes to childbirth. So I started looking and started watching. And for the first time, I found out that Sierra Leone have the highest infant mortality death. And in 2007, in Time Magazine, 2008, it was called 1 in 8 women. And I have to be honest, I don't really know. I didn't know what 1 in 8 women mean. But for me, everybody that I told that was very shocked. And so that's what really led me through to, I really wanted to know why. I didn't really go into it, set it up a foundation.
All right. Oh, this is not the first time Australians are hearing your personal story. Indeed, you were in the Bokkam Hills African Ladies Theatre Production Group, and I do remember you very well because I was at several of your rehearsals and watched some of your shows. So how has the play and the subsequent film that came out of it helped you go through a healing process after the trauma of your birth as well as the civil war in Sierra Leone?
I think the play really helped me because I really went into doing this play not thinking of my own experience. Because I know going through what I've gone through, being kidnapped and coming to Australia and feeling such shame of what happened to me. I was so in prison all over my body or the way I looked. I was very obsessed, not really trying to be attractive or getting compliments. So there were so many things that I went through. And I just felt like if I was to able, if I have that kind of platform to tell my story and let other women find that healing of what happened to them, they don't necessarily need to talk to everybody or the way I did it, but talk to one person or find and make peace with it, find out that it's not their fault. And when I did that, it was not just because in Sierra Leone, what happened to me, I grew up in a very protective home. It was only through war that I had to go through that. So same as in Australia, there's a lot of rape cases. So it was not just about African women. It was all everyone, every single person that I've gone through violence, for them to break that barrier of shame or guilt. So that was my reason of doing the show and telling my story.
And you just returned from Sierra Leone. And how has the nation healed? Or has it moved on from after the civil war and the recent Ebola epidemic?
I think the nation have moved. When I went back to Sierra Leone last year with SBS and my colleagues and friends, I feel the Sierra Leone is, I don't think a lot of people give credit to the Sierra Leonean people or the nation itself of what they've been through, especially I was not there during the Ebola, but during the civil war that went for like 11 years. They're full of such joy, really, truly. I did not expect what I saw from the airport, from the moment we land down. They were full of so much joy and so much hope. I don't know if it's because they really do not know too much what is happening out there, but where they're surrounded, they make sure that it's a really joyful place. And it was really surprising to me that they want to have more, but they're content in what they have and they find joy in that. I think that was really an experience for me to learn too in life.
And you have set up this foundation, or would I say NGO?
Yes.
Which is helping pregnant women have a safer childbirth and helping nursing mothers as well to cope with everyday aspects of child rearing. What is the major problem your initiative is helping to solve in Sierra Leone?
Well, first of all, we're looking into the fistula problem, the fistula issue that is in Sierra Leone. Fistula, women that are, there's about 2 million women that are affected by fistula, which I feel like I don't think any human being, whether a man or woman, should ever experience. I said to people, it's the first time I've ever really know the meaning what losing your dignity is. So that is something that is very passionate to my heart, for women to regain back their dignity and go out to their community and feel accepted. But also the dream team that we're funding at this moment, these are young girls from between 11 years old or 10 years old to 19 that fell pregnant during the Ebola. Fell pregnant, but even after the Ebola, the clinic that we're working together with, we've partnered with, still looking after these women. So we're looking into that, looking into education, and also looking into, from now to 5 years, we want to have our own clinic in the rural area, because this is where the resource is really needed. So, yeah.
So how do you fund all these programs? How is it possible for you, as I said before me now, how do you have enough money to do this? Because it's quite an expensive venture.
Yes. Well, we do fundraising, and like what SBS have done with the documentary that is coming out today. We're having an event tomorrow at Woolara. So we just want a fundraising, and we want the Australian community and the African community, because this is not just an African issue. We want the Australian community to work with us, for us to really try to contribute to this women's life. So we just ask for people to support us in any form or shape that they can, if it's education or any sort of way that people can really do a little bit for us to build this program and make it more profitable for the women and children in Sierra Leone.
So practically, how does one help?
Well, you can go to our website, aminatametono foundation.org.
Can you say that again, please?
aminatametono foundation.org.
All right, okay. And yes. Yeah, that's right. Telephone number. Okay. Yeah. All right. I think that's about it, unless you have something specific to add to this. That's all that I have for you.
Well, I think what I would really like to say, first of all, I want to reach out to my African community, because it took us like 4 years for us to say, we just launched this September, but we did a lot of research. We've done a lot of work onto it. For now, I think I would like especially because we can't expect just the West to help us. I want the African community to really embrace what we are trying to do and really work with us, and for them to be aware of what we're trying to achieve. And this is not my foundation. It's ours, really. So, that's what I would like to say.